Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 130. If this is your first time listening, we are a married couple looking at life through a nerdy lens. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Because we are talking about some Star Wars today. And what did we watch today?
We watched Star Wars.
That's right.
A New Hope.
Well, actually.
Well, it wasn't technically A New Hope when it came out.
No, and we watched the theatrical
edition.
Because
we watched the theatrical edition. So
which
it did
is
not
hard to find.
Say that.
No. But it was fun watching the theatrical edition,
yeah.
The original edition, the one that came out in 1977. And so it kind of got us into a 1977 state of mind, a Star Wars state of mind, if you will. And coming out this year, later this year, in 2019, I believe November of 2019, Disney Plus, Disney's own streaming service, is coming out. And this news broke about a month ago, maybe a little bit more somewhere
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, probably a little bit more.
And we didn't talk about it then, well, maybe briefly, but we want to talk about it a little bit more in depth today, but mainly the Star Wars aspect of it, since Disney now owns everything, and one big property of that being Star Wars. And so they're coming out with two live-action Star Wars shows, which we've never gotten before. Not live
yeah,
action.
Right.
We've gotten cartoons, mm-hmm. We've gotten CGI, and of course we've had live action movies, but not live action television format. And so the first one is called The Mandalorian, starring Pedro Pascal and executive producer Jon Favreau. And it takes place after Return of the Jedi, but before Force Awakens. So like we haven't spent a lot of time in there.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Pedro Pascal, the only thing you and I have seen him in was Triple Frontier.
On Netflix.
And
he's a part of Game of Thrones cast.
Yeah,
right?
We don't watch Game mm-hmm. of Thrones. And yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table. And I'm just fascinated to see something take place after Jedi.
Yeah, and I think it's smart to do something with, there is no known character that I know of.
Yeah.
At least from the description that they've described. So it feels like safe territory because you're not going to, I don't know, mess up a character that's beloved or something like
yeah.
that. Like, I think that's a smart move on their behalf.
Like, Obi-Wan's a hunter now or something like that.
Something weird where we're like, no, that's not the way it should be.
And so that's going to be available upon launch. And on the second year of Disney Plus, they're coming out with an untitled Cassian Andor series. And Cassian Andor was the guy in Rogue One, like the lead guy
mm-hmm.
in Rogue One.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's a prequel because everybody died in Rogue One.
Right. Spoiler.
And Alan Tudyk is coming back.
For K2SO.
And so that'll be interesting. Like, we weren't the biggest Rogue One fans. I mean, we really liked the third act. I mean, who didn't?
Right. But, I mean, we didn't feel super attached to the characters at all.
No, not really.
So, but again, like, we don't know a super ton and we're not super connected to that character. So that's probably safe again.
Right.
That you have a character that you're dealing with that you just can build on. And we didn't get to see him for very long.
No, and I think it was a character I definitely wanted to know more about and more about his exploits because obviously we saw his last one
mm-hmm.
and being a rebel rogue, you know, like a rebel spy
right.
can be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
having a thriller of a TV show should be pretty fun. And so there's a rumored third live action show that's going to be coming. And we don't know what it is. So I thought that it would be fun if we talked about what we'd like to see
yeah.
in that. Because when it was announced that Disney Plus was coming out, like everybody was just like, well, you know, like how much is it going to cost? Because it's going to have all of Disney's back catalog.
Right.
And so they could charge $20 a month if they wanted to. They could charge $15 like
Netflix.
Well, don't
say
Netflix.
It out loud. They might hear you.
But instead, they're going for $6.99.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's such an amazing price. Now, obviously, they'll up it as the years go, just like Netflix
did. Yeah, and then
we'll
end up paying that much, but then it'll be part of our lives, and we won't be able to say, no, I can't pay that.
Because besides the whole Disney library, now that they've bought Fox, they're going to have every episode of The Simpsons. They're going to have... it's going to be the exclusive streaming source for like Captain Marvel, Endgame, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, and Dumbo and Maleficent and everything like that. And also, like, there's some like three Marvel live action TV shows that are going to be coming out, like one with Wanda and Vision, one with with Falcon and Bucky.
Okay.
Some odd pairings.
Will they get the actual actors?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. And there's a Loki show coming too. Oh my God. I know. But because of Endgame, they have like a backdoor of Loki coming back, even though he died in Infinity War. But we'll see.
Okay.
I don't think that's due on launch. I think that's a couple years from now, maybe a year from now. I'm not quite sure. But
okay. You
got all that content. So they're bringing some premium actors. They're bringing some premium content. And it was way more exciting than Apple's streaming service announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little... wah, wah.
And so, yeah. Okay. So let's get into it. Let's talk.
Okay.
Live action TV show. Have you ever thought about a live action TV show, Star Wars TV show before?
Oh, I'm sure when I was 12. Absolutely.
What did you want when you were 12? Like, what did you imagine? Like, Han and Leia married and having kids?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because those were, like, the books that I read as a kid was all about, like, them having kids and stuff like that. So, like, them going on adventures with their kids. That was what I wanted. And that's, what, like, the kind of books that I would read was, like, those kind of things. So, like, they had twins and they had one boy, and the boy was the one with, like, the powers, but the other, like, the twins were really like boy girl twins, but they were like super really like good fighters and stuff like that. And it was really fun. It was like, you know, and they were super like cheeky with each other, like Han and Leia, and that's like what I loved. And yeah, like I remember reading those books and wanting that kind of thing. But as an adult, I don't want them to tamper with any characters that already exist. I think I made that pretty clear when I'm talking about like the Mandalorian. Like, I feel like they have just decided to ruin some characters in the new version, like the new movies. Yeah, the new movies. So just leave them alone. I think I'd rather see something in the same universe, like the Mandalorian is doing, where we don't tamper with anything. But we just are in that universe and enjoy where we are.
I think a lot of people have said that Star Wars, especially the sequel trilogy Star Wars, suffers from small world syndrome, where everything's connected. Everybody who you've seen before comes again, and you go into a planet. All of a sudden, it's this dude that you saw last movie. You know, like it's that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
And so the Mandalorian feels like an exercise in expanding that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like it's not centered on a Jedi. It doesn't have
C-3PO and
C-3PO. Oh my god,
R2-D2.
I'm so done with C-3PO. It doesn't have any of that. And actually, like, since you said like leave characters alone, that makes me think of the new Star Trek show coming out this year, Star Trek Picard.
Right,
like, that's what it's going to be called now.
Yeah.
And when it was announced that they were going to do a show centered around Jean-Luc Picard, my first thought was, you can only screw it up.
Yeah,
you can only screw it up,
and that is like a huge fear, right? Mm-hmm. That I don't know. I think there's something to it where leave the imagination to imagine where Picard would go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, people love these characters so much that why wouldn't you want to give them more? So I understand it, but it also really scares me when they decide to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know.
I know. It's terrifying.
It really
is. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
As I've said many times before, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing.
I'm not.
Like, I'm pretty good at, like, if Star Trek Picard sucks, I'm like, it's all right, because we have his adventures on the Next Generation, and that goes unchanged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, with the Cassian Andor show, like, sure, you know, like a prequel to Rogue One, I'm not jazzed for it, but it could be good.
Yeah.
I'm not like disappointed, like, oh, it's going to suck. I'm just like, oh, sure, let's see how it is. With Mandalorian, because it's their launch show, mm-hmm. like that is the show that is anchoring the network. That is the show that we're just like, boom, this is what we're promoting.
Right.
This is the show that it's kind of like there. It's like Netflix and House of Cards. Mm-hmm. It, not the same, not a one-to-one, because House of Cards didn't start Netflix.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the show that was known for Netflix, like Netflix mm-hmm. and House of
Which
Cards.
Which is really interesting, I feel like, that they would go in that direction with The Mandalorian, because I feel like it's one of those things where, like, you kind of have to be a Star Wars fan to even know what a Mandalorian is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little risky, but not, because they know their base and they know that, like, you know, like, I mean, I know that Boba Fett wasn't a Mandalorian, but, like, the fact that everyone, like, always was interested in Boba Fett,
yeah.
it kind of is fan service that, like, you would even make a show about a Mandalorian.
I think it's that visual cue.
Yes.
It's that visual, like, oh, he looks like Boba Fett, but he's not Boba Fett.
Right.
And even your casual Star Wars fan is just like, ooh, love that armor. You know, like, right. Most overrated character in history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it's surprising that they wouldn't use a well-known character mm-hmm. or, like, try to give backstory to a well-known character.
Yeah, you think that, like, and that's all that Marvel is announcing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, hey, you know, here's some side characters.
Mm-hmm.
Falcon, Bucky, and Wanda and Vision.
Yeah.
Loki.
Right.
Like, it's not like there's the Captain America show or right. the Black Widow show or the Hulk show or anything like that. It's all these side characters. But we all know who they are.
Right.
And we have no idea who the Mandalorian is.
Exactly. So I think there is something beautiful about that they can form their own base of fans based on what they're producing versus the history. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are in a somewhat of a box because of where the timeline is. And I think that, you know, hopefully they don't do, like, a whole Discovery thing where they have to kind of, like, retcon, like, their technology of, like, well, we can show this kind of cool technology, but then we have to, like, explain why it's not the same way in Force Awakens. Like,
well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I think that's an inherent Star Trek problem. I don't think Star Wars has that issue.
Because they stay true to their aesthetic?
That, very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, because Star Wars stays true to its aesthetic.
They definitely have in their movies.
Like, look at Rogue One.
Yeah.
I mean, Rogue One did a fantastic job of showing you technology and interfaces and monitors and computers and everything like that were reminiscent of 1977, but right. it didn't look out of place. Mm-hmm. I think they did a great job that way. And with The Mandalorian, they said that they're going to be using models for their ships,
yeah,
for their special effects. That's amazing. And, like, Jon Favreau said, he's like, we're going to try to do a New Hope level style of special effects and production.
Which is fantastic.
Like, my knee-jerk reaction was, I was like, well, okay, good for you. That was in the 70s. That's 40 years ago.
Yeah, but nowadays,
yeah.
we have this technology that you can make things with green screen and just, you know, kind of phone it in some ways. Other times, of course, green screen is super, like, impressive, but there's something beautiful about the tactile, especially in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Like, we just watched Alien the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that had the same story.
Well, and yeah, exactly. I think, like, even as a viewer today, you're in awe of, like, the set design.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, creating the world physically, you really can't duplicate that a lot of times in...
CGI.
Yeah, CGI, you can't.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And so that is exciting. Like, my knee jerk was almost aristocratic and snobby. And then I started realizing, no, that's genius. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
It's basically just, again, letting the fans know, don't worry. It's going to feel like Star Wars.
It's kind of like when J.J. Abrams said, we're going to shoot it on film.
Right.
We're going to shoot.
So it's going to feel.
We're going to shoot Force Awakens on film.
It's going to feel right.
But to get back to it, yeah, it's an inherent Star Trek problem that focuses so much on technology. And we've talked about this before, where, like, in Star Trek, they give a lot of time on how things work. In Star Wars, things just work.
Right.
And in Star Wars, you have really advanced technology and you have really crappy technology. And it really all depends on who you are and where you are. Like, you look at what the Empire has. They have the best of everything. You look at Naboo, you know, like, everything is really clean and fun and cool. And then you look at Tatooine and everything's tattered and grimy. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
So you can have super, super advanced technology or really primitive stuff.
Yeah.
In the entire universe.
It's very true.
And so Star Wars has its own cheat because it's so diverse.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So what are you looking for in a third show?
Oh, man.
So basically the only thing I really care about is not necessarily messing up the characters. Or is there like a certain location that you want to be?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think the main thing, it's funny because you talked about how when you were 12, you would love to have seen Han and Leia and their kids and like you were reading.
Yeah.
But you didn't want that now. My 12-year-old self is the same as my current self.
Okay.
My 12-year-old self loved the Jedi Apprentice books.
Okay.
They're young adult novels.
You've talked about these so many times.
I've talked about them so many times. Like super young adult. You can barely call them a novel. It's like it's a kid's book.
Yeah.
It's a kid's chapter book.
Right.
And they're amazing. They're fun. And you could read them today and they're still really great. And it's about when Obi-Wan Kenobi turns from 12 to 13. And then he gets picked by Qui-Gon Jinn to be his apprentice. And their adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And so every book is just one of their adventures. And I love the Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan relationship. And so, because you can't get Liam Neeson and, like, because you wouldn't be able to get Liam Neeson, you'd have to recast it.
Yeah.
And so, I guess I'm changing my mind. Like, a young kid, a young Tristan would be like, yeah, let's do that as a live-action TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I would probably say, let's do a CGI TV show like Clone Wars or Rebels, like that.
Okay.
But for live-action, I would love to see the Old Republic.
Okay.
Where the like one of the best Star Wars video games, one of the best video games of all time was Knights of the Old Republic that took place thousands of years before the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was basically the same technology though.
Well,
and it was the same feeling, but it was so separate from all the events that you didn't have the Empire, you didn't have the New Republic. And
it felt different than the prequels. It was its own thing.
It was its own thing. It had the same vibe. It was still Star Wars, but you had tons of Jedi and you had tons of Sith.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, a master and apprentice, only two there are. It was, no, you had Sith who had their own planet and their own fleet. And they were a force. So it was like, it was a lot of Jedi, a lot of Sith, and it was like their own armies. And
that's interesting that you bring that up, because one line that was kind of sticking out to me today when we were watching Star Wars 77 was that just like them constantly kind of belittling Darth Vader and Obi-Wan for like going to the old ways.
Their ancient religion.
And like thinking of what did that look like? You know, even like the spiritualism of, you know, being a believer in the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back far enough, it would be interesting to know, like, about the Jedi Temple and, you know, stuff like that. Like, those type of things where, like, being a Jedi was more popular than it had become when we encounter it.
Because even in the prequel series, I mean, the prequel movies, you had the Jedi Temple and you had thousands of Jedi Knights who were guardians of the peace and justice. But in the Old Republic, you had even more.
Right. And I think that would be really interesting. Maybe it would be too much for a television show.
I think it would be.
So maybe we're changing our minds again.
Maybe
but
it'd be too expensive, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be too expensive.
Yeah.
But I would love to see it. And I to be honest with you, like the storyline within Knights of the Old Republic is a great storyline. It's about a very powerful Sith, a Darth.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Revan, who was defeated in battle by some Jedi, and they're like, what do we do with this guy? Like, we can't kill him. Jedis don't execute. And so they're like, well, let's wipe his memory. Let's see if we can mold this guy into a good Jedi instead of a bad Sith. And they did. Well, they erased his memory, but then it's, you're that character, you're like, who am I? What's going on here? And so as you progress in this in the game, that every decision you make is either good or bad, light side or dark side. And so like, do you fall down the path of the dark side again, or do you go to the light side?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about you discovering yourself and your powers. And
but is that too similar to what the stories we've already seen, like with Luke and with like Rey? I'm like saying from like a TV perspective.
About a story of a Jedi, yeah, are they going to be bad or are they going to be good?
You know, it's kind of, it feels like we've seen that.
No, I don't think so. I think there's always that wonder of like when you see Luke and when you see Rey,
mm-hmm.
like you're like, are they going to be good? Or are they going to be bad? But we all know that they're going to be good.
Right.
And they end up being good. But I think with this one, there's much, much more ambiguity. And there's, they throw a lot of situations at your character where you're just like, there's no good way out of this.
Mm.
Like, do I cripple entire civilization or do I help cause genocide? You know, like those types of questions. And you have an it's a built-in episodic storyline where it's just like, you have to find a star map. Like you have to find pieces of a map.
But again, you're describing a video game.
Yes, I am. I'm describing a video game. Right. But think about it from a modern television standpoint. That's your series arc. Like once you get to the end of the series or the end of the season or whatever, like you can put that map together by going to point A to point B to point C. Like, yeah, it's a video game, but modern serialized television is kind of that way. Look at season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. Like that's kind of what that was with the red lights and the red angel.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess from my perspective, I'm like, it feels like, especially with like what they're choosing to do right now with like the Mandalorian and, mm-hmm. and choosing like the Rogue One storyline of those, you know, of that guy. It just feels like we're going outside of the Force, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that they won't have like people who are Force sensitive or anything like that, but
you know they will.
Of course they will, because that's what makes Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it feels like it's not as much of like a focus. I felt so like cheated in Rogue One when Forrest Whitaker's character wasn't as utilized and everything. Yeah. And I thought like his character was going to be really cool, and it would have been really nice to see like his storyline more. Other than him just kind of like making a walk-on appearance.
Well, we see him pop up in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay.
So they
didn't realize that.
Yeah, they show his, like that's where his character is from the Clone Wars.
Gotcha.
And they elaborate a little bit more in Rebels, not much.
Okay.
So you do see a little bit. So you would want to see like a like them recast Forrest Whitaker or have more Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't care. Like it just felt very rushed in Rogue One.
Yeah.
So from someone who hasn't watched those, it would be interesting to see that. But if they've already kind of done that in another format, then I don't really care.
One thing that I'd like to see, like, I feel a little lazy because, you know, like it's good to come up with original content, but I keep coming back to like stuff I've seen before that I like in other forms. But one thing that I've always wanted to see was a Jedi by himself or herself after the fall.
Mm.
And so like, how do they find their way?
Kind of like Obi-Wan, like,
yeah,
going into but his like, old hope hibernation type deal.
Yeah, right? But somebody younger. Like maybe something like maybe you see an apprentice who didn't finish their training and they're like, okay, I've got like half of my training complete,
mm-hmm.
and the Jedi temple is gone. The Jedi are killed. What do I do? Who am I? Am I still a Jedi? Do I need to find work someplace else? In Star Wars Rebels, Freddie Prinze Jr. Voices a Jedi named Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to him.
Okay.
Like he was an apprentice when the fall happened. And so you see him as kind of like a Han Solo character where he's with a group of people who just kind of wreak havoc on the Empire and try to make a buck. It's kind of like Firefly.
Okay.
And
yeah, it's
actually a lot like Firefly.
Do they steal Firefly?
I'm just now realizing that. Holy crap. Kanan's like Malcolm Reynolds. Wow. I feel so stupid. But yeah. And so Kanan.
You like both.
I love both, yeah.
And so Kanan is a Jedi who has like half his training. Mm-hmm.
He has a lightsaber, but he doesn't bring it out because he doesn't want people to know that he's mm-hmm. a Jedi.
Right.
But he's very
no, that could be really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that would be interesting as like a prequel thing, like show Kanan mm-hmm. before he hooks up with everybody you see
right.
in Rebels. So basically like a live mm-hmm. action prequel to Rebels. Like Absolutely. How did we get the people in Rebels?
Right, right.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And heck, I mean, like he might be a little too old. I don't think so. But you could get Freddie Prinze Jr. to do it.
I think he's older than us.
Yeah, he's older. Okay. But yeah. So maybe it's later in Kanan's life instead of early on. But then, I don't know. You cast somebody else, and it's a young Kanan. I think that would be a lot of fun to see because I love Jedi so much. I love lightsabers so much.
Yeah.
And I want a show with a lightsaber.
I totally get it. Like I do think that I am interested though in more of like the rebellion and how that like works and or like, you know, whatever the First Order, like I am interested in seeing something without lightsabers, but you know that anytime it's a Star Wars show it's gonna pop up.
Gotta have a lightsaber. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
So would you want to do something? Like, we're in the age of the anti-hero,
mm-hmm.
clearly, ever since Breaking Bad came out.
Right.
Would you want to see something in that era, like, in that kind of side? Would you want to see, like, a bad guy or, like, a person of gray in the Star Wars universe? Would you want to follow a Sith around? Would you want to follow, like, there was a lot, like, the first live-action show, I think, maybe first or one of the first, was supposed to be a show all about Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, I don't have a reason to want that.
Like, okay, here's the thing. I feel the exact same way, but there was something like, it was some ridiculous number. There was something like 50 scripts were written.
About Palpatine?
About Palpatine.
And like, how he became the way he is.
How he became the way he is. And like, everybody who worked on it, was the same thing, was felt the same way about you, like you and I. They were just like, why would we want to see that?
Yeah.
And then after they actually made the show, they made they wrote seasons worth of the show. Lucas is just like, let's do this. Let's get it all together now. Let's coordinate the show. Let's write the scripts now before we shoot it. And then once we shoot it, we can film everything that we could possibly need and then make it interwoven between season and season. So basically you write like 5 years and then produce the show. And then everybody who worked on it said was just like, yeah, like Palpatine is an amazing, complex and beautiful character now. And
really,
it's going to be shelved forever.
Wow.
And I was...
But it actually happened where there was like,
these scripts are written. A 5-year
arc of Palpatine.
I might be exaggerating the 5-year aspect of it.
Okay, but like,
more than 1 year was written.
Okay, so they actually knew where they were going.
Yeah. Lucas brought in a whole writing team and producers to make this happen because Lucas, for a long time, wanted a live-action TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But they just couldn't make it affordable.
Okay.
Because he wanted it to look like movies.
Well, yeah, yeah. You want it to be the best quality possible. Yeah. Like, you want it to still be in your universe. Like, I totally get it.
But it's just...
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. Well, now I want to see that show.
Right? And that's the thing, is that, like, because, like, my knee-jerk was just like yours. Like, why on earth would I want a show about mm-hmm. Palpatine? But then when you have people who are so in love with Star Wars like we are, mm-hmm. and who wrote and, like, put so much effort into it and then said, like, no, he's a beautifully complex character.
Well, and I think, again, that character we see but not so much that like it would ruin knowing more backstory. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's one of those unique characters that like you could do, you already know the destination, so, and we've already seen him in like the prequels and then you've seen him, you know, much later when, you know, you get to the, you know, Return of the Jedi. So it's one of those things where it feels like as long as they were true to the character, it feels like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't we want to know the arc of like how he got to the way he is? So that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too, but it'll never happen.
No, that's interesting.
One thing is with the beauty of streaming is that you can do whatever you want. You can make movies, you can make TV shows, you can make mm-hmm. miniseries, you can make event shows and everything like that. And one thing
that I know people are going to be completely disagree with me, but Darth Maul was revived in the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay.
Like, we saw a lot of him.
Okay.
In the Clone Wars.
Okay.
And they brought him back, gave him some robot legs.
Okay.
And a lot of people thought it was the most ridiculous thing ever. And it was.
Okay.
But it was cool at the same time. And so we see him at the end of Solo. And so he's the leader of Red something.
Okay.
Sun, Red Dawn. Nope, that's not right. Nope, that is a Patrick Swayze movie. he's Red something.
We see him at the end of Solo.
We see him at the end of Solo, and he's like a gangster. Like, he's the head of a huge like gangster organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to see like a 6-episode miniseries about where we left him at the end of Rebels,
mm-hmm.
and how he became that gangster. Because I would love to see like a, just like a, this is not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's evil. He's damaged. He's traumatized. He hates the Sith. He's not a Sith anymore. He's not Darth Maul. He's Maul.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. He's Maul, not Darth Maul anymore.
Okay.
He hates the Sith, but he also hates the Jedi.
Right.
And he wants to do evil. He wants to punish the universe that punished him. And I would love to see a show that was unabashed, just following this guy where he is the protagonist and the antagonist at the same time.
Hmm.
6 episodes.
But that's all you need.
That's all I need.
Just a little mini-series.
Like a quick mini-series.
Okay.
I would love to see that happen.
Okay. Is there any other character that you can think of that you like really want to know more about?
R2-D2. I think he's a mystery. He's an enigma. We have no idea what he's really saying.
You're such a liar. You don't care.
No, I don't. At all. Not even a little. Ask your question again. It's like a mystery.
No,
of the character.
Just like a character that you're like, oh, I wish we knew more about that character, or we, you know, but enough to like actually hold a series, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe it we'll could just, be a bad idea.
We'll just say it, and I'll tell you if it's a bad idea.
Well, I hate this because I know his name, but because you asked me and I thought of it, I can't remember his name now. Is it Admiral Nyet?
Oh, okay.
Is it Nyet?
I think so.
It's the main guy. It's the main. It was like Darth Vader's right hand man,
mm-hmm.
in Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to see a show about him.
Care.
I just wanted to see more of him.
Okay.
Like, I would love to get a novel about him.
I think we saw enough of him.
I don't need a show about him. Okay. I want to read a novel about. I really like that character. I really like that actor. I really like that character. No, it's not Nyet. It's Piet.
Piet?
Nyet. It's Russian for no. Is it Piet? Yeah, I think it's Piet. Admiral Piet. I don't know. Nyet. I'm sure people were yelling at their iPods.
Their iPods.
Nobody has an iPod anymore. How about you? Is there any character that you wish you knew about more?
I really struggle with the idea of like, I think that I'd love to see, I mean, I know that in recent years we've gotten more female characters as far as like in the Star Wars universe, it's not just Princess Leia. We had Rogue One and we have Force Awakens and, you know, we have Rey's storyline and everything like that. But it would be nice to, I mean, it's been a long time coming, so it wouldn't be a bad thing to have one where at least we have, I mean, I know that we have a female in The Mandalorian.
One female's name.
Only one female's name?
I'm pretty sure it was only one female's name out of like 8 guys' names.
Okay, then I could request to have something more than that. Yeah.
I might be wrong on that.
And I think like, you know, since Rebels or Clone Wars have been so popular, like why not take one of those female characters and make them have a show?
Oh yeah, there's
like, wouldn't that be really popular?
Sabine and Hera from Rebels are great characters, and honestly, like if they don't have Sabine make a guest appearance on The Mandalorian, then they're missing out because Sabine is a Mandalorian and she comes from like pseudo Mandalorian royalty,
right?
Not exactly royalty, but like,
but still, like, why wouldn't you have her?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like she'd be young.
Yeah, but that's okay.
But that's totally okay. And it would be, I don't know, how young would she be? Not that young. I think it would work. And she's a great character. Like, there's so many times, like, we'll see some of her action figures out in, like, Target or something like that.
You want to buy them.
I want to buy them because I'm just like, oh, I want Ripley to like her. I want Ripley to like her.
Right. You've said that to me.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And I just think, like, why not? Like, why not give, you know, something, I don't know, something that's already established, but we could see more of.
Honestly, like, we could have easily, and I would have loved it, like, if the Mandalorian...
Was
Sabine. Like, yeah. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Like, her backstory is so cool. She's the daughter of the head of a Mandalorian clan. Like, mm-hmm. her mom is the head of a Mandalorian clan. And she leaves. Her brother's name is Tristan. And she leaves and she goes to the Imperial Academy. And she... You know, she does some heinous things, and she regrets that. She leaves, like she defects, and she's like, I can't believe I did these things. I was young, I was naive, I was stupid. I just wanted to get out of there,
right?
And then she joined the crew with Kanan and Hera and everybody else, and just started wreaking havoc on the Empire. And she loves art. She spray paints, she tags things, like whenever they go to a new location, she'll spray some of her own art. Which
is a fun idiosyncrasy to add to, like, yeah.
And she decorates her own armor, and so she's very colorful, she's very bright, she's sassy, but not in a stereotypical, like, two-dimensional way that they make female characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's genuinely, she has a lot of depth, she has a lot of care, and
So we want to see that show.
We want to see that show. She's just a great, great character. And then you have Hera, who is a Twi'lek.
Right.
But she speaks basic English, like whatever they call it in Star Wars, they call it basic, but which is very rare for a Twi'lek. And she's one of the best pilots in the rebellion. And she's the leader of the group. The group,
yeah.
Kanan's not the leader.
Right. Like, she is.
She is.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't know. I think that would be pretty cool. And again, like, I understand that they already have a story, but we haven't. I think I'm okay with it because we haven't seen it in live action. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We haven't seen an actor play those roles.
A physical actor.
So, like, why not? I don't think it would bother me as much.
There was. It's interesting that you say that because. We didn't see like a physical actor's portray that. There is an episode in Star Wars Rebels that is all about Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine, older, fighting Darth Maul.
So that would be awesome to see.
And the thing is that I'm pissed that Star Wars Rebels had made that episode. It was a great episode.
But now it's done.
Now it's done. The story's been told.
Right.
I wanted to see that in live action.
So do you just want to see Rebels as like a live action?
No, I don't. I don't. Okay. I don't want to see Rebels as a live action.
Okay.
I think it would work. I think it would be cool. I think they left it on a very cool note where they had another journey to go on.
Oh, okay.
They had another mission at the end.
So could you see like a second season as a live action instead of redoing the first?
I could see a sequel show.
Okay.
To it, but I could also see a prequel show.
Okay.
There's just so many stories to tell with Star Wars Rebels. And did I absolutely love Rebels? There were parts of Rebels that I really liked. It was kind of hit or miss, and there was some average things, but it was always entertaining.
Okay.
And it got better as it went on. There's so much potential behind it, and I feel like we only got four seasons. And I feel like if the showrunners knew they were only going to get four seasons, that they would have used their time differently.
I understand that. Yeah.
And I think with this knowledge and where they left it off, it would be a very, very cool, interesting journey to take.
Well, even the fact that you were comparing it to Firefly, like how many journeys could you have seen of Firefly? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Firefly could have gone on forever if they let it.
Yeah.
You know, it could have gone on for a really long time because of just the nature of what they had going on. Mm-hmm. So if Rebels is that similar, then that would have really worked. right? As a TV show.
I kind of want to make you watch it now. Like, I kind of want you to see these characters and see these stories.
Like, I know who those characters, because I've seen episodes here and there with you. Yeah. So I know who, like, the female characters are that we were talking about. But yeah, it would be interesting.
It'd be a cool bedtime show, I think.
A bedtime show. We have bedtime shows.
Because I own the first season, and I kept trying to see if I could buy the other seasons for cheap, but it was always like $90 for the whole show.
Oh my gosh.
But now we're going to get them on November.
There you go. November. It's all going to change.
So is there any other specific things that you'd want to see? Like, is there anything that you don't want to see besides like screwing up characters that we love? Like, is there anything specifically that you don't want to see?
I don't want to see an Endor show, because
like with Ewoks and stuff.
Well, like we've already had those, like those 80s,
those two movies, those 80s,
yeah.
One like, was great, one was garbage.
Right. I mean, it was like the one that I remember that was good. I remember it being adorable, but do we need to do that again? Probably not.
No.
Right.
No,
we don't. So I don't think I need that.
Would you? This sounds stupid, even before I even said it. Like, would you want to see like a Wookiee show?
I'm pretty sure there is a movie out there, unless I dreamed it. Please, listeners, tell me, is there a Wookiee movie out there that I saw in high school? You weren't with me in high school, but there was a Wookiee, I'm pretty sure.
Are you thinking of the holiday special?
No, like there was a straight up movie I remember about Wookiees. Am I dreaming this?
You were dreaming that.
Are you sure?
Like maybe there was
a I dream in Wookiees?
Maybe there was something animated? Like a special or something? You know, you sure you're not thinking of the holiday special? Because like it was like Chewie met his family. There was a guy named Itchy. He had a weird helmet.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like. It wasn't cutesy. It was like a legit Wookiee planet.
No.
No.
I mean, there's Kashyyyk. You know.
I'm just dreaming in Wookiee.
Just dreaming about Wookiees walking carpets.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
For me, like, what I wouldn't want to see is, I don't know. I wouldn't want to see, like, Yoda's backstory. I don't need that.
No. No.
Like a young Yoda, you know? 13 years.
Yeah. Seeing him in the prequels is enough. Him, like, jumping around the place. That's about it.
I know this is, okay. What about recasting people we've already seen? How would you feel about that?
Well, you know how I feel about Solo, so no. Like, I can't deal with that.
Well, I mean, that's why I asked.
I think, okay, I have less of a problem with, like, for example, when they did that with Obi-Wan, you know, because we had Alec who's older to begin with. So having Ewan McGregor as a young, I was fine with that. But, like, if you were to go back and cast Carrie Fisher, that would just not be okay with me.
Yeah.
So, don't do that. You know, I think there are certain things that are like, don't touch them. And that's what I mean by these characters is like, if you do recast, there's just a lot of room for error. Unless it's someone who is just like, okay, we didn't see so much of them that we care.
This is hard.
Yeah.
Because I want this to happen, but then I don't want it to happen.
Is it a question of quality versus quantity? Or do you think it's just really holding on to what we hold dear? Like, what do you think?
I feel like we were robbed of Luke Skywalker after Return of the Jedi. I feel like what we got in Force Awakens and The Last Jedi was a disservice to the character.
Yes.
I'm not burning torches and I'm not, you know, like I'm not going to spit in anybody's face about it, but I don't think they did justice to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to see his temple.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see his school, his academy, right, whatever you want to call
it. Which would have been really fun to see.
We didn't see him mentor anybody. We just saw everything after the fact and then they killed him.
Yeah.
And I would have, honestly, I'd be fine if they recast Luke Skywalker with a different actor and we see him find his way in a post-Jedi, Return of the Jedi world. Like, where does he go? What does he do? You know, does he become a teacher? Does he want to become a teacher?
Right.
Does he, now that he has defeated the Sith, does he feel like he has no purpose in life?
Right.
Like, he's like, I've brought balance to the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do now?
Well, it's like, it's almost like that syndrome of a soldier from war,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you have reinventing themselves. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So what would he, like, you know, is he still at, you know, Harold as a hero, or is there mixed feelings about it? You know, like, is he like trying to, you know, continue the tradition that he was taught by Obi-Wan, or mm-hmm. did he kind of just fall into teaching? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, some, I've seen online where some people have said that Sebastian Stan, the guy who plays Bucky, looks like Mark Hamill. And, like, there are certain times when he really does.
Really?
And I honestly, like, I feel like he's the right age for a post Return of the Jedi Skywalker. He already has a contract with Marvel. You know, like, it works, people. Screw this whole Winter Soldier and Falcon show. Like, let him do that. Like, honestly, I would love to see something like that.
Okay.
Or cast an unknown. I don't know.
Okay. It's scary, but you know what? I think I could get down with that, because I think you are right. Like, they've already, they're screwed up.
Yeah. What worse could they do?
What else could happen? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you'd have to probably add in, like, Carrie Fisher's character, and you'd have, like, you know, you'd have to go with Leia and Han, and, you know, you would see the kids, and I don't know.
I think you could write around it.
Hmm.
I think you could write around Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. I really do. I think you could write around.
So it literally is just...
It's just Luke.
Luke.
Like, he, like, maybe they even say, like, oh, you know, like, Leia messaged me, or like Leia sent Ben
mm-hmm.
to them, and so, like, all those conversations happen off screen. They're referenced, but they all happen off screen, so you don't have to worry about it, that kind of thing. I think you could do it.
It's a little risky, but I am interested to see the Jedi training, like, of his school.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you want to see?
What do you guys want to see? We want to hear from you guys.
Absolutely.
What do you want to see? What live action, you know, Star Wars show would you love to create or see? Or what do you not want to see? Do you like what we had to say? Do you think we're crazy with what we said? Go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, and it'll send us an email. And I just now realized we record this live, but we got a 5-star review, and I completely forgot about the guy's username. I think it was from the UK, but he said, nothing but love for Nerd Nuptial is what he said.
Oh, okay.
And so we will mention you next week. Next week. Next episode, yeah. We'll mention the username. So
thank you very much.
If you're listening right now and that's what you said, we apologize for not having the username, but we will talk about you next episode. Thank you so much. And you guys, like, if you like what we're doing, if you want to give us a review, if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
And we'll actually
remember
your username.
and so go to iTunes and give us whatever review you want. But if you give us 5 stars, you get mentioned on the show. And we love doing this, and hopefully you love listening to us. If you want to listen to our back episodes, go to thenerdparty.com. And if you want to reach us on social, you can go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me personally on Twitter at the Insane Robin.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.